Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. I'm John Cook, and I'm joined today by Takahiro Sakito, Chief Japan Strategist for MUFG. It's Monday, October 17th, 2022. Welcome back to the podcast, Sakito-san.
Good to be back.
Always good to have you. And as you know, the Japanese Ministry of Finance recently released the international transaction and securities data for the month of September. And as you also know, this is one of my favorite data series. It's just super insightful as to what, you know, Japanese investors are doing in foreign bond markets and, you know, and international investors in the domestic Japanese bond markets and not all bond markets, but, you know, not just bond markets, but, you know, equities as well. But I guess the question is, how has Japanese behavior and sentiment changed in reaction to stresses in sterling and other foreign bond markets over the last, let's say, month or so?
Data released by the Ministry of Finance on October 11th shows that Japanese investors net sold 1.6 trillion yen of foreign securities during the month of September. Although Japanese investors purchased a net 951 billion yen of foreign stocks and investment funds in September, and a net 136 billion yen of short-term foreign bonds, that buying was overwhelmed by net sales of 2.7 trillion yen of medium to long-term foreign bonds. The sales of foreign bonds is a continuation of a record selling that was only briefly interrupted by a buying in August. In September, among the most prominent the Japanese investors to unload medium to long-term foreign bonds were Japanese banks, who sold 1.1 trillion yen, and the lifers, who sold 1 trillion yen. On the other hand, pension funds, trust banks, in contrast, acquired a net 175 billion yen. The buying of foreign stocks and investment funds was largely carried out by Toshin Investment Trust, who bought 522 billion yen, and Japanese banks, who bought 325 billion yen. In response to the global bond market sell-off during the month of September, firstly, lifers try to reduce their foreign assets. And secondly, Japanese banks shifted from foreign bonds to alternative assets. Over this time, cross-currency basis widened as three-month contracts extended over the year end with dollar liquidity at a premium. In contrast, other maturities were little changed.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see basis widening, you know, despite all these sales of foreign securities and in particular, foreign bonds. I just, you know, for our listeners' sake, I would, you know, sort of remind them that Japanese investors have sold foreign bonds in every single month of this calendar year, except for August and January, which is really, really remarkable. So, the Ministry of Finance's data releases at the beginning of the month are interesting for a number of reasons, international transaction and securities being among them, but also the balance of payment data gives us additional insight into Japanese investor behavior with a little bit longer of a lag. So the current data release covers August. What sticks out to you in that very interesting data set?
Okay. In August, Japanese investors were conspicuous buyers of foreign bonds. By currency, they purchased a net, firstly, the 1.1 trillion yen of dollar medium to long-term bonds. Secondly, 373 billion yen of British pound medium to long-term bonds. And thirdly, 101 billion yen of euro short-term bonds. And a British pound, Japanese investors purchased 97 billion yen of foreign sovereign bonds and 513 billion yen of non-sovereign bonds. They also made notable net purchases of euro short-term bonds, 25 billion yen from Spain, 25 billion yen from Germany, and 17 billion yen from Italy. Within a 3.7 trillion yen net sales of foreign stocks and investment funds by the Japanese investors, the Cayman Islands accounted for 2 trillion yen and the United States for 1.2 trillion yen. Japanese investors sold both US stocks and spread products. The Japanese investors have been obvious net sellers of G10 bonds in fiscal year 22. So the 665 billion yen net sale purchases of UK non-sovereign bonds in the month of August stands out. The sharp rise of interest rates, overall volatility, and September's overall net selling of foreign bonds suggests this buying was short-lived.
Yeah, I mean, bad timing on that. I'm sure that Japan was not the only investor that got that wrong. You know, yields went from looking attractive to, you know, to things becoming much more dangerous. In September, and that's obviously continued into October.
Right.
But let's switch topics for a second. You recently put out a report on the quarterly Bank of Japan Tonkin survey. Could you take our listeners through the high points specifically as it pertains to direct investing?
Okay. The Bank of Japan September Tonkin survey released on October 3rd shows that the changes in the terms of trade, which accompanies the dollar yen rise of over 30 yen in 2022, have begun changing the investment behavior of Japanese companies. Japanese corporate forecast of fiscal year 22 business activity shows that on an all industry basis, overseas sales are expected to grow 8.9% year over year, while domestic sales are expected to grow 10.5% year over year. As Japanese manufacturers keep steady sales growth overseas and really enjoy weak yen domestically. Companies raised their investment forecasts both overseas 17.7% year over year and domestically 19.3% year over year. And the number of companies that have a positive outlook on domestic sales and investment increased further, clarifying the Japanese corporate stance of returning to Japan. Japanese companies have already internationalized and while rebuilding their domestic business portfolios, they will be forced to look closely at the composition and a possible rearrangement of global business portfolios. Over the near term, Japanese manufacturers' companies have to cover their necessary dollar asset funding with yen basis, even though they have to return some portfolios to Japan.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, you point out at the beginning there that, you know, that dollar yen's risen over 30 yen in 2022, and yet, you know, overseas sale, or you know, the mix of sales between overseas and domestic, as well as the investment forecast, you know, domestically and overseas, are pretty balanced, which is surprising. So that's interesting. Thanks for taking us through that. And I think we probably have to wrap things up here, but I don't want to do so without going over the outlook across yen rate, spot dollar yen, and yen basis markets.
Okay. After holidays in the New York and Tokyo markets, dollar yen and yen interest rate rose, pulled upward by U.S. interest rates. Japanese PPI rose 9.7% year over year, surpassing market expectations. Over the near term, wariness about FX intervention is likely to keep a lid on dollar yen's top side. On the other hand, the opacity of the UK gilt market is likely to keep dollar yen volatile. And the trend of a stronger dollar at the expense of the yen are unlikely to change. We'll be watching the Fed beige book, as well as Fed officials' comments, for an updated read on tightness in the labor markets, as well as inflation. Dalian recently broke its 1998 high of the 147.64. We switched from a neutral bias to a bullish bias, and our forecast range is presently 147 to 154 Dalian. The yen swap rate curve is rising, particularly in the long end of the curve. Market participants are conscious of the 20-year JGB auction on October 18th, given weakness out of the 30-year auction. The BOJ is likely hoping that its increased purchases of super long JGBs and fixed-rate JGB buying operations will have the desired effect. Although the JGB market is not completely uncoupled from the current volatility of the G10 bond market, we maintain our neutral bias for yen interest rates, as the BOJ's control over the interest rate, as well as falling demands for yen bonds, limit any sell-off. Yen basis widened, mainly at the front end of the curve. According to the Ministry of Finance weekly securities data, Japanese investors sold a net 690 billion yen of foreign securities during the week of October 2nd to 8th. A breakdown shows that they net purchased 879 billion yen foreign stocks and investment funds and 143 billion yen short-term foreign bonds. The preference of Japanese investors for these types of securities was unchanged. Their net seller of medium to long-term foreign bonds, the 1.7 trillion yen of sales, was a fifth consecutive week of net sales showing limited appetites for foreign bonds amongst Japanese investors. We suspect that Japanese investors were forced to reduce their foreign bond positions given the rise of G10 interest rates. Unable to set foreign bond loss limits at the start of the second half fiscal year 22, and now witnessing the erratic British pound and the dollar bond markets, Japanese investors might be unable to move in either direction here. Meanwhile, foreigners purchased a net 3 trillion yen of Japanese securities. Within this amount, they purchased a net 1.7 trillion yen of short-term yen bonds and 1.3 trillion yen of Japanese stocks and investment funds, while selling a net 109 billion yen of medium to long-term yen bonds. Global G10 bond investment concerns are the same for foreign investors. But since the JGB rate risk is relatively low, overseas investors' appetite for JGBs recovered more quickly than Japanese investors for foreign bond positions. Over the near term, Japanese will proceed securing dollar funding for foreign assets over the year end, while foreigners rebuild their JGB positions, but in small size, causing us to maintain our widening bias for yen basis.
Okay, great. So to summarize, maybe before I do that, I thought it was interesting you point out Japanese investors have sold foreign bonds for five straight weeks now. I would add that that makes them sellers in seven of the last 8 weeks, which is quite the streak, particularly, you know, on top of what we discussed earlier in the episode. But to summarize, you are bullish on dollar yen, and perhaps rightly so. As I record here, I see that dollar yen trading above 149, which seems crazy, but that move up continues. You continue to be neutral on yen rate at the upper band of the BOJ's yield curve control policy, and you continue to expect the cross-currency basis to widen. Does that sound about right?
Right.
Great. Okay. Well, great stuff as always, Sakito-san. Thanks for joining the episode.
Thank you for having me, John.
And thank you for listening to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back soon for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.